Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. How's it going?
Good. Very good.
All right. What do you got for us today?
I'm debating whether or not to do one standard quote and then one dirty quote.
Ooh.
Because it had me laughing, thinking about it on the way home.
Or is your other option just one dirty quote?
or no, is to not have the dirty quote.
Ah, okay.
But I guess now that I've said it, I have to. So, you know, if for some reason kids are listening to Art of Craftsmanship, well, if your parents are there, it doesn't matter. But if they are there, earmuff the kids. I'll start with the clean one.
Earmuffs. All right.
Do not ask if a man has been through college. Ask if a college has been through him. If he is a walking university. That's the dirty one.
Ooh, that is rough.
Ooh, risky.
Ooh, man. Yeah, all right. College.
For the second one, it's... What's the last thing you want to hear when you're giving Willie Nelson a blowjob?
What's that?
I'm not Willie Nelson. there you go.
That's great. those are both good. Yeah. I do. That's funny. Yeah. Go back to the serious quote.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about, you know, Willie Nelson and BJ's.
Yeah, right. That is what it is. I'm not Willie Nelson. the other quote, it kind of reminds me of you know, if you're a living example of something, right? I think myself as a Maryland Institute College of Art grad, and I would say I'm a successful artist in the way that I have a YouTube channel, which I make things, I teach, you know, art and design. Like, so I'm an example of what you can come through an art and design school and one path you can take. You know, I'm proud of the fact that I went to Maryland Institute College of Art for undergrad, and you know, that college is a big part of who I am, you know, like my perspective on life and my perspective on art and design and the way I make things, the way I do things and the way I treat people. I mean, that was all, that's all part of my life. And that 4 years that, you know, very, influential 4 years of anyone's life, you know, right after high school when you're like developing as a person. Mm. So I think, yeah. You know, and I meet other people that are MICA grads, you know, it's like a certain type of person, you know, and you can tell, I think, most of the time.
Yeah. Artsy weirdo.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, oh, you must have gone to MICA. You got that half shaved head with the flop hair, you know, or it's just spiky and weird.
Well, yeah. Well, by your age, everyone just looks like parents now anyway. So
yeah, right. Exactly. Everyone's...
Maybe when everyone was 25.
I actually just had two MICA grads, one who graduated. I guess both of them, maybe, who both graduated the year after me, I think. But they both came through Baltimore Design School and brought their fifth grader, who's interested in coming to the school for middle school. So like, they're like, yeah, here, we're here with our kid, you know, we're, you know. I was like, dang. I was like, you've got a student in fifth grade? And I was like, no, my daughter's in seventh grade, so right. What am I saying? Yeah. But yeah, it's
yeah.
And actually, the funny thing about college is, or about art school, right? You get like, when you think of art school, you think of it as like crazy, you know, outfits and weirdo artists with crazy hair and all. It's funny because at MICA, the freshman year is kind of the year where people explore that type of stuff. Or I would say they're still exploring it, right? Because all of us, you know, freshmen at MICA, we all were the weirdo artists at our schools, at our high schools,
right,
where we were the minority. And then we go to MICA and we're the majority. Everyone's the weirdo artist.
Right. So you can let your weird out a little bit more. So everyone starts pushing it.
Yeah, exactly. You can be a little bit weirder, but then you realize, oh wait, we're all the same.
Yeah.
So
and, I mean, you used to stand out, and all of a sudden you don't stand out.
Right.
But, man, yeah. I got to shave half my head.
Yeah, to stand out, you actually have to like try to be fairly normal. Like, okay, well, I don't have to be wild. You don't have to have like crazy hair and you know all sorts of piercings and tattoos and
with your polo.
I know. Right? You weirdo. He must be real special. He's crazy. He's really bucking the system. He's going straight mainstream.
I saw him drink a Bud Light the other day. Disgusting.
Oh, no. What a freak. What a freak. No way. That's not happening. Micah, nobody drinks a Bud Light.
Actually, that's not true. You are.
No, we drink Natty Bo. Natty Bo. That's what I'm drinking right now. It's never worn off.
You don't go. Yeah, you go for the cheap hip beer. Like the local, whatever the local thing is. That's a key.
Right.
You know, if you're an upcoming hipster or artist, just make sure you go buy whatever's local and cheap and kind of somewhat crappy, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. You have to embrace the local. You know, but also embrace the cheap. Mm-hmm. there's always a local cheap beer, so you got to get on that bandwagon. That's how it works.
That's right. There you go.
And then eventually, then you find like a cool little niche bar somewhere that serves, you know, like cocktails with lime rind and you know, like ginger peels. But then they also sell like, you know, craft brews.
Yeah,
and all and then also the local cheap beer in bottles or cans.
Man, like, I went out like. Last year to like a nice out to an area where I used to live in Hamden. I went to one of the nice bars with the nice cocktail, and you know, I just became such an old man so quick about how expensive stuff was. I mean, cocktails were always expensive, but it's just to a absurd degree.
Yeah, when you haven't gone in years.
Yeah, you're like, what?
What the hell is happening here?
$19 for a drink.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
that is crazy.
It's, yeah, and a beer. I mean, my wife and I went to a Gettysburg or something, and we went to like a little brewery, Appalachian Brewing Co. Something like that.
Okay.
And their beer was okay, but like in the beer garden, you know, I'm thinking like it's their beer. We're in like a beer garden outside.
Yeah.
It should be right under $5. But all the beers were like $7, $8.
Yeah, I mean, that's not.
But that's push. I know it's not, but
it just, but it's, yeah, I guess it's a little pushing it.
Well, I always thought, like, if you're at the place and it's their thing.
Right.
They're not, like, importing it. They're not getting, you know, you're not giving anyone a cut of your money.
Right. Yeah, but you would think that.
But, it's like, what? No.
No, it's, it's standard bar prices.
Yeah. I don't need to pick up girls. I came with a girl. That's my wife. What are we doing?
Yeah, there
here?
Should
let's,
be. Yeah,
let's go home.
There should
and drink.
Be a discount. Just, no, I guess maybe not. Right? Yeah. No, there should be a discount for like you know, not singles, but like couples night.
parents night.
Yeah, right. You're gonna come out. You're ready to spend a bunch of money. So we'll give you like a dollar off on all your drinks because you're probably gonna spend more anyway. and you know they're also buying. Better drinks, right? You're not buying just the cheapest stuff. You're like, I don't want to just drink the cheap beer at the bar. I want to pay
try
five times
stuff.
The price.
That's right. Yeah.
I got, I have three beers here that I'm working on tonight. The first one is National Bohemian. You know, I figured I'd start that way.
Sounds
and then I have a, let's see this one here. Okay. So I stopped at the liquor store this afternoon and picked up a 15 pack, $20, $20.99 for 15 pack. Always good. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was Devil's Backbone, which I'm familiar with, that brewing company. And then I got home, and it's BB, not DB. It's Breckenridge Brewery. So.
Oh, yeah. I think I've had their stuff.
Yeah. I don't think I ever had, but it was a cool mix pack. I have so I have the Natty Bow, which is just like a standard lager. And then I have a Session Sour, Bright and Tart, with pineapple, lime, and guava. And then just to round out the full selection, I have a vanilla porter.
Such a fucking mix.
I know, right? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's mix it up.
Go to bed farting and burping.
I was ready to drink a couple beers, though. I was like, oh, that'd be cool.
It's like your own super mix pack.
Yeah, and it's like a little party. Yeah, I'm taking online courses, and the one I'm doing right now, I just found out that I don't have to take my midterm apparently it was like an old midterm, you know, because like obviously this class is a class that's offered all the time, and so the teacher just reuses the curriculum and blah blah blah. Yeah. But apparently like the midterm is based off an older book, and the older book talks about a bunch of different stuff that we don't talk about in the current book that we're using for the class. So he was like, for those of you who have already taken it, I apologize. Like, yeah. I feel horrible because you were probably super frustrated. Those of you who haven't taken it, don't worry about it. You know, the grade won't be used for your final, you know, for your final overall grade. I was like, yes, because that was this Sunday. Although, like, you know, the midterms and finals are never, they're not what stress me out. It's all the papers and stuff, because that you actually have to think about. You know, it's like, take time, write it, and cite things, and read, and
right.
You know.
Right.
Like, the finals are usually just, like, multiple choice, and, you know, and short answer things, and you're just like, they're just questions about it, you know.
Yeah, school's such a...
It's stressing you out just hearing it. You're like, that sucks.
I hate it so much. Everyone... Like, I had some buddies who kept going to school, and my wife wanted to go back. I'm like, I can't. It's brutal.
I will die.
I will die of school.
I'll die before I go back.
You take my dead body before I learn anything else.
You're like, I'm in the school of life now, baby.
That's right. Yeah, college goes through me, all
right? Right, exactly. I'll go through college. It goes through me.
That's right. I'm gonna start using that.
Pouring through me.
God, yeah, that's right. That's a quote from someone who from a family of someone who went to film school, art school, graphic school. None of us went to a standard. That would be my recommendation this week. No, I won't. But go to some type of art school what do they call them? Tech school or trade school.
Yeah.
And then you're still young people. You're still going to have the fun. Or,
yeah,
like I did, have some buddies who still go to a 4-year university. So you can party with them.
Yeah, exactly.
When you want to, you know, be silly and do parties, and then, you know, you go to film school. But we still party too, so.
Yeah, go to trade school, get a job after like a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, and bam, you're making big bucks.
That's right. So, anyway, here we are.
Three digits. Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly.
So, what have we been up to? You've been doing a lot. We've stalled on shooting, even though we have videos for the next 3 weeks that are going to be question videos, which I pretty much polished up the first one today. Or they're pretty much all edited. Like, I had to split up the type of questions and intros and outros. So they're all kind of edited.
Nice. So, you already, like, you organized them into the different videos.
Yeah, I pulled everything into one timeline.
Gotcha.
And started chopping them up, trying to get a good feel on how it should go. But it's like, they're long, surprisingly long, and I might chop some up, but it's not going to get, I think the first one's like 20 minutes, so.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's funny, because I feel like I was really like succinct and quick when answering, I guess. You know, I was like, I didn't want to be like, so for our listeners, I don't think we talked about it last week. We talked with Brandon, but I think it may have been after. Sure. It was in the after show, which isn't part of anything yet. But yeah, so we shot, maybe we did talk about it, maybe not, just in case. So we shot a bunch of questions, 15 different questions, and then talked about some trolley comments and made some like show and tell stuff. So we're going to be doing some question and answer type things, weekly, kind of like top five or, you know, best five questions of the week. I'm trying to put a bunch of those out, get some questions from our patrons and from the listeners of the podcast and our viewers, you know, and kind of gather all those questions and then do a weekly question and answer, which is just like a fun way to put out additional content and then get some of that stuff where someone asks us a question in a comment and then, you know, put it back out into the real world because people like that acknowledgement. You know, you're like, oh, they're answering my question. That's like super cool, you know, and it's a small thing and it's super fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've been talking about it a lot just because we've been working on it. But
yeah.
So we have three five-question videos. We're going to do them like, right. Hey, best five questions of the week. And we got those ready to go. Right. So I'll polish that one up. And
nice.
It's cool, yeah. So and the end little show and tell is fun, too. So.
Yeah, and I was thinking that, like, when you said, you know, they're longer, I was like, you know, but like I was saying, you know, I wasn't trying to answer them. I was trying to answer them in a cohesive, like succinct way, right? That like kind of got through it, but then also, you know, add little things here and there and talk about stuff just that way it would, you know, kind of delve into it a little bit more.
Yeah. 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 And I keep, like I said, should I start chopping stuff up? Should I? And it is going to be a little bit more of a standard, like, YouTube-style thing where it is just one angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Dustin walks in, sits down, and I start by reading him a trolley comment. Get it, you know, get it going. And right. Then he reads five real ones, and then or he answers five real ones. And I, my voice will be on the videos for the first time ever.
Hey-o.
It's weird to hear when I'm editing it, but...
yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have those, and... So I was thinking, like, gosh, should I, like, really chop it up? Like, people do on YouTube? Like, any O's or any spaces at all? People, even when there's not, they chop stuff up just because right, it's, like, yeah. The look. But, I don't know. What's the difference?
So.
What's the difference between it being 16 minutes and 19? It's
right.
It's not a, like, the pace, or that's not what you're looking for if you want to hear about, like, X head geometry and where right. Dustin gets leather and stuff like that, the questions and bow questions. I'd rather have it you're sitting with Dustin just chatting.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I think it should be. And I don't that you know, I mean the flow will be what it is and
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there were there, like, in between questions, I'd, like, get a drink or, you know, have a drink mm-hmm. or get up and move around if I needed to or something, you know? So, like, there would be ways you might split it up. And if at some point I'm answering a question, I want to, like, redo it, you know? So there may be edits and things, but I think, yeah, I think that's kind of half the fun is that you just, it's kind of that, like, a more intimate conversation.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But it's not so, it's not an edited video. I mean, it's edited, but it's not a... like a full produced video, like
right.
Normal videos.
I might, I might add some footage if you're talking about something in the past. I might just add some footage mm-hmm. from the old video if you're like talking about something specifically. But other than that,
right.
They're pretty straightforward. It's just something to get out every week while in between while we're doing the big stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess when we got together to do it, we're like, all right, we'll get together. We'll shoot some of these and then, you know, maybe shoot the intro to a new video, which we're going to, probably the next video will be the sheep shear knives.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow us on Instagram, you would have seen that. And I was super happy with the way they turned out. So definitely want to show that process. But then we just like did the video and did the questions and it went pretty quick. I mean, I think we hung out for like an hour and a half or 2 hours or something. And we're like, yeah I guess we're good. So we like just stopped it there, you know, so they had the footage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, any podcast listeners, if you want to leave stuff, we're also working on getting a Discord channel and stuff like that. So if you can leave questions under that, we'll give out information soon in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
Or obviously email at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com or
mm-hmm.
Instagram or leave it under the weekly videos and that'll give us more of a we know directly these people are the ones who wanna ask and also have their answers. So you know, we'll start answering those and any patrons as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely, you know, comment, you know, let us know, ask us questions there. And it, you know, obviously it can be questions about something that you've seen in a video, but it can also be just, you know, if you have any questions about making stuff, even if it's not something we've addressed in a video, you know, I do lots of different stuff, lots of different making things. And also, you know, maybe you could, if you have questions about like video production or YouTube channel stuff, you know, just like the ins and outs of how it works, you know, you could ask those type of things as well. And we'd love to answer. It's fun. I actually really like doing that. It's kind of like the Dear Dustin segment that you do sometimes, you know, right, like, right. Yeah, because I try to answer those things, through comments on YouTube, but it's hard sometimes to get the whole point across in just text. Yeah. You know, so,
right. In a sentence or two. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to like think about the questions and then prepare, you know, some props and stuff like we did with the video. I had some things to show, like this thing, and you know, like, I'm talking about something and being able to show it at the same time, you know. So, like, if people have like process, you know, questions, they could ask those. I could show a process or something. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's cool. I'm excited for them to come out. It'll be fun.
I was going to say today, well, this will come out Friday. So maybe the first one will come out Sunday or Monday. And then we do want to pick a day, you know.
Right.
So every week it can be Monday or Tuesday. So
yeah,
it'll definitely come out in the next few days if you guys are hearing this. So keep an eye out.
Yeah. I don't know why this kept popping into my head all week, but if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, we had Brandon Roost from Whiskey River on as our guest, and for some reason his disaster story has just stuck with me, and the image of him like falling through the ceiling into like the warehouse, landing on a table, bam, you know, and, like, there's a dude standing there on the phone. He's like, "Brandon, you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay." Goes back to talking. Oh, that's so funny. Just like, trips up in the ceiling and falls through the piece of the like one good piece of drywall that was up there. And then he replaced it with a purple waterproof piece. So you got like this one purple panel in the ceiling. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. It was a funny story. It stuck with me like multiple times this week. I've thought about it and laughed to myself. So thank you, Brandon, for keeping me giggling all week. He did send me a couple pictures, and we've been chatting a little bit since last week. He sent the two, I guess they're called sand-casted forms for the two handles, the 30C and the shorter one. He sent me like the picture of that, the original one, you know, that he's kind of worked up and all, and welded and shaved. It was kind of cool. And then also sent some pictures of the new 19C handles that are out, which would be pretty sweet. So. They're pretty nice.
Yeah, I jumped in on his. Well, I didn't. I just kind of. What do you call it when you watch but you don't contribute? Like you don't comment. There's a streaming word for it.
Live stream.
Oh, yeah, there.
I'm not hip to that word.
What is it? Anyway.
You're like a what's it called? A tourist or something? I don't
know. Yeah, something it's like that. Tourist or it's. I'm just going to, it's like watching, but from afar, like quietly.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's what I was doing. And watching him grade his handles was interesting.
Oh, cool.
Stuff like that. That's why he should have a social media presence.
Right.
And he should continue to do what he's doing and share and YouTube and all that stuff. And anyone with small businesses, if you're not doing that, I think you're leaving a lot on the table, a big chance to connect with people because you watch that and right away it's not just, you know, when you go to buy something, it's just another website with some stuff and hey, check out and this and that. You don't get a real feeling about what it is. But once you start to watch them or and like share time with them on social media or like he does live streams, it makes it much nicer where it's just a guy with a giant pound of handles, just sorting through them.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's all it is. It's not some, that's why you want to support those people. And that's why, if you have a small business, I think you should show yourself that because that is your advantage. People can connect to you that way, which a bigger company just can't. They're either, I mean, maybe they are sorted by hand, but who knows by who or machines or what. But it's just a guy who got a crate of handles going, this one's good, this one's not good, this one's. You know, it's really interesting to watch. Really, it's nice to see.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like how much easier is it to like go on a website and buy something when you just like you know that person is there doing it, you know, like
right,
like they're putting in the time and the effort. You're like, oh, okay, this thing is maybe it's say 5% more expensive or 10% more expensive than it would be if you just bought it from, you know, a giant manufacturer.
Like, right.
But, you know, it's way easier to do that when you're watching, like you said, when you realize you get this little bit of one-on-one. It's just like a normal person doing this normal thing in their own time. And, you know, it's been, there's like some personal, you know, trait to how you, the things have been handled, right? That extra time and love, it makes it worth it.
Yeah, it's the, our constant reference of watching someone do glass blowing.
Right, yeah.
Glass, which is dirt cheap and in every thrift store in the country. And, like, you can give it away at a yard sale. No one wants it, you know?
you except throw for it the Brandon's...
right, so you want to throw customers. It away. Yeah, you want right. to throw away a pallet of it. But, I mean, obviously that's not made in the same way, but you see right. a glass blower, and then all of a sudden you're ready to shell out 30, 40, 100 bucks for a cup. Which you right. would never, yeah. ever do, you know, right, in your life. Yeah. But you see someone actually take the time in 20 seconds doing a vase or something, then you're ready to shell out the money for it because you see what goes into it.
Yeah, and you watch it being handmade, too. Like, mm-hmm. even, like, getting that one piece. Like, I was there. I was sitting right next to him. I saw him, like, blow it or make it or, you know, form it, however. It's like,
yeah,
you're definitely, yeah, much more willing to. Because it's you're buying that experience, you know, you're not just buying the product, you're buying the experience that you had, or you're like buying a memory, kind right. of, you know.
Yeah.
So you like attach a memory to a piece.
Speaking of glass blowing, which I didn't get to watch this year, what's her name? It's three names.
Angela De Leon.
Or yeah, two names, but De Leon. So she was at Maker Camp the first year we went, and she made she was making roses and stuff and different flowers. And I bought one from her for my daughter, and then she has it up on her bookshelf, but she just recently threw something into it. So, like, the stem got broken off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I threw a book or something. But
dang.
I mean, she's too little to know. Like, you can't. She was just doing something. She was just being goofy.
Yeah, right.
And it hit, so... I'll hide whatever is remaining, or get some type of thing for some type of Beauty and the Beast like
yeah.
flower holder thing, glass thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I wonder. You know, like that's not a super hard thing to put back together, right?
You get
like
a little
propane torch and get like a good hot, you know, fire that's going true. And heat it up and stick it back together. The issue is like the tempering, right? So when you do any type of right. glass forming, you have to put that glass into like an oven and bring the temperature slowly down. So I wonder about that. I wonder if you do like a fix, right? You like you fix a spot. I think if I even think that like you heat it up and then let it cool, I think just cooling in, you know, room temperature, even a small fix, I would assume would probably crack.
You know, right.
It would probably not stay together. It has to go into like a warm oven, you know.
Yeah, I think if anything, maybe I'll just hit it with some old glue and say, don't touch it.
Yeah.
It's just Gorilla glued together. Like, leave it be.
Right.
But it's still, most of it's still there, so.
Yeah. Well, Andrea, if you are listening, which I'm sure you are, let us know what to do. Yeah, maybe we'll send it back.
I have this moment I think of sometime. Like when I'm thinking of Maker Camp memories, one is after I had watched her make all these flowers and stuff, and you and I were in different areas. You were like blacksmithing. I was just walking around talking to people and hanging out.
Yep.
She had made her way into the blacksmithing tent. And I was pretty drunk by then. I was thinking of a better word, but, you know, we all know what these words
pretty,
mean.
Pretty drunk.
How do you say drunk?
I was happy.
And I remember I came up to her and I, like, introduced you to her, but I didn't have anything to say after that. I was like, oh, she does the glass blowing and stuff. And, like, came up and she was just like, yeah. And I think she was also talking to someone else. Right. But it was something like that where it just kind of stalled there. Like no one else had anything else to say. Just like, okay. And just walked away. Like, oh, that didn't, that wasn't great.
That's funny. You're like, oh, man.
I think of that. Like, man, I kind of, it was just silly.
The liquid courage is supposed to help you out in that situation, right?
Right. Like, well, the courage, prompts. Yeah, it's just to run up and talk to the people and be like, hey, like, but then I think she was talking to someone else, something, some deep talk, and it was like, oh, okay.
Jeff Fader had her on the Full Blast podcast at Maker Camp. I don't know if you listen to that. They had a from Maker Camp artist discussion that that Mark Adams kind of organized and asked to MC basically. And so it was like, it was her and dang, now I'm gonna Joshua Prince and Keith Decent and the other girl, shoot, I can't, Leah Arapach. I got it. Yes. So it was the four of them and Jeff, and just like talking. So it was cool. So if, like, you know, if you want to hear more from Andrea De Leon, you can listen to that episode. It's cool. It was good. I listened to it. It was fun. And it was good too, because it was like very much like being at Maker Camp, because there was lots of sounds. It was like, you could hear the hammer. I mean, they did it in, Patty Brooklyn's, tent, selling tent. But you could hear the forges at the forge tent like they were right outside. Dang. It was crazy. You know, I was like, man, it sounds like it's right there. And then, like, sometimes, like, you know, a gator would drive by, or a golf cart, like, or a truck or something, like beeping and people talking and laughing in the background. You hear like air noise. It was great. It was really cool. And Jeff was talking about it, how annoyed he was that it wasn't better quality, that there was all this sound and stuff. And I was like, nah, that was perfect. Like that, it felt so great. It felt like you were there in the environment.
Yeah. The audio quality was fine, right? It was just,
yeah, it was fine. I mean, it wasn't great. Like they weren't, you know, the same way we have like mics and headphones and it sounds nice and clear. And like, we're close up to the, you know, to the audience. Like it sounded a little bit further away and kind of like they were in a tent together, you know? But it was fine. You could hear them perfectly fine. It wasn't like you couldn't hear them. You know, the levels were all good, but there was just like other background noise. It was like you're hanging out with them in the booth at Maker Camp. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, that's what it should be. You don't want it to be some isolated, like, you don't want it to sound like what this sounds like right now.
Right.
Like that would be, you would have no idea. Yeah. Before we went, when I brought that idea up, I was like, we should do a podcast from Maker Camp. Like, no one's done that. And you're like, someone did it last year. Five people are doing it this year. Like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
We got enough to
do. We shouldn't do a podcast from Maker Camp. We'll be different.
No one's doing that. Not doing anything.
No one's not doing that.
We're not going to do anything on social. That'll be our, no, we can't next year, because hopefully we'll be shooting some bows and you'll be doing some demonstrations.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely be doing that. That'll be,
oh man, it'll be fun. I'm so excited for that.
Me too. I was actually thinking about that just yesterday, I think, and thinking about making, you know, it was like I was starting to kind of design and, you know, fabricate the kind of the thing that we're planning on making. Like the archery thing, whatever that is, you know.
Yeah. Some type we'll of we'll do that. Hopefully you can finish up a bow while you're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cool. So you can do some demonstrations and, like we said before, something maybe to make or not. Maybe we should just focus on you doing, talking about bow making and then people shooting.
Yeah.
And then having one big thing at the end on or Saturday or maybe Sunday, you know.
Right. Yeah. Big. Yeah. Like
a big shoot off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited. It'd be cool. Yeah, I need to make a couple bows for that, I think. You know, I want to make, we'll see. I need to figure something out. Mm-hmm. Either, like, make a couple bows that people can shoot, or, you know, get, I don't know. Maybe reach out to some sponsors and see if we can get some sponsors to send over some kind of cheaper, you know, I don't know, like long bows, like laminate or something, you know, so I can talk about self bows and making it, and I can have mine there and people can shoot those. But then, you know, if we're doing a big like shoot off, you know, to have well, but, have like 10, you know, like 25 pound bows or something.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. You had your sewing classes were only 4 or 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
So then, as long as we can get 5 bows of varying weight, then people can try them. Like, I can bring mine and.
Right.
And I don't care if people, you know, we just need enough. And even if it's 10 people class or whatever, you can have, all right, you take 3 shots. Right. The next person takes 3 shots, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I guess the, like, the majority of people there are guys. But I'm just thinking, you know, like a 50-pound draw bow, which is my lightest, is, you know, not super easy to pull. It's not crazy, but, you know.
I don't know if we have just standard, like, gym class bows. Whether I mean, I guess it would be cool. It would just be kind of like, hey, we're showing how these things are made, and then we're...
But you can also, like, shoot for fun, you know? That's kind of the thing.
But I would... It'd be nice if we could shoot for fun with ones... I know, obviously, you can't make them all, and...
Right.
We'd have to get someone...
And I'm happy to bring all my bows and let people shoot them. Like, if they want to shoot them, they can shoot them.
Right.
But we could also have a couple... other ones there, you know, like kids bows too. That way if kids want to come up and shoot, they can shoot, you know, like a 15-pound bow, you know. I don't know, we'll see. It's something to think about, you know, like before we know it, it's going to be like July.
I know, we have like, to start making stuff now.
Yeah, right.
And also we might be going to, well, we probably will going to friends on the farm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then hopefully we can, maybe we'll do a dry run of a lot of that stuff there. Okay. And hopefully anyone who, you know, we won't talk too much more about that. But there's got a lot of stuff in the works for next year. Hopefully we can meet up with a lot of people and have a real good time.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. And we will have to, not have to, but, you know, probably we'll go up Thursday. So maybe it's like after work on Thursday instead of leaving in the morning on Friday or something. You know, maybe take, I don't know. We'll see. Because, you know, definitely want to be, have like, things ready to go Friday morning for people who are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's exciting. One of the things that I've been working on this week, which is kind of cool, is at Maker Camp, talking about Maker Camp, and I can't remember if I talked about this at all, but I got a hammer that was welded to a metal rod. Mm-hmm. Did I talk about this last week? I can't remember. You know, they all kind of blend together.
I think you did, and it's also it's going to be in the show and tell as well.
Ah, right. Yeah. But yeah, so I, that's right. Yeah. So I, just a small, like a 2-pound hammer head that was welded to had a handle welded onto it, a metal rod, you know, like 1/2 inch by maybe 16 inches, something like that. And so I worked on, you know, I got it because I liked the head. It was a nice, kind of standard head with 2 flat sides that I reprofiled and ground and kind of, you know, refaced them. When I saw the head, it had Japan stamped on it, which I haven't seen before. And it also had like a maker's mark that I didn't recognize, and it had 2 pounds on it as well. So like, I knew it was a good size. Like I have 3-pound, blacksmithing hammers, and I have a 2.5, but I don't think I have any 2. So that's why I was like, oh, look at this. But yeah, so I ground the weld off, and I wasn't exactly sure how deep it would go. So I kind of ground off as much as I could do just with the angle grinder and got it down to, you know, as clean the joint that I could get. And then just kind of put a drift in and started hitting it. I might have hit it 7 or 8 times, and then just bing, the handle popped out because it wasn't all the way through the eye. And it was great. So I, you know, cleaned it all off, wire wheeled it, and reground the faces to a nice mirror shine. But that was cool. It's funny. I've kind of been in the shop off and on for the last week, but I've been pretty busy as well. And just like there were a couple times when I went downstairs in the shop and just like didn't do anything. I just like sat there and like played on my phone a little bit, and you know, I like moved a bunch of stuff around and like looked at things, like I opened up things. Like I'm working on a handle for a tomahawk for John Nagel from Nagel House Forge. We've had on the podcast in the past. So he sent over a tomahawk head that he forged out to ask if I could do a handle for it. And the client has these two, like, tortoiseshell pieces that they wanted somehow maybe incorporated into the handle. The one thing that I need to double check with John, though, is, like, the tortoiseshell, they're these, I would say, maybe 5 inches by 2.5 inch kind of oblong, you know, ovals that are like maybe pieces of a tortoise shell or little tiny tortoise, like full tortoise shells from little tortoises, I guess. I don't know. They're like, they're like not very big, but you know, it's two of them. They look like complete shells, but like each individual like section of the shell is kind of big too. So I don't know. I don't know exactly, But John cast them both in like clear resin, right? So they're fully encased in resin. But the narrow end, you know, the 2.5 by 5, the 2.5-ish or whatever, say 2.5, is wider, right, than the eye of the tomahawk. And traditionally, a tomahawk has a slip fit handle, so it slides in from the top of the eye and just. The handle is wider at the top, so it's can't slide all the way off the handle. So I'm assuming that the person doesn't mind that, but I need to double check with him before I figure out a way to incorporate the tortoise shells into like the palm swell, if I do a palm swell or something like that at the bottom, because obviously, again, if it were a traditional tomahawk handle, it wouldn't have a palm swell because it would be narrower at the bottom and it just slips in from the top. So if they want to slip fit like a traditional tomahawk handle, then we'll either have to like, I'll have to cut them in like smaller pieces, but I'm assuming by the shape that they are, they probably don't mind, but it's nice. It's a really, really nice head, with like a spike end and a nice, you know, nice thin blade that John forged out and graciously etched, his logo on one side of the head and our logo on the other side of the head since we're.
Oh yeah,
doing the handle. Yep, just like he did with the Viking axe, which is right really now. Cool. Yeah,
that's great. I'd love to get him on again, chat to him.
Yeah, we should. I'm sure he would like to come on. You know, it's like, why not? It's fun to hang out and chat. Yeah. So I went down one day. I kind of just like, I was looking through. I'd opened up the box and I had checked it out, but it had been a while since I'd gone back in. You know, just getting busy and then forgetting about things like we all do. So I went back down, I was checking it out, looking at it and trying to figure out, like trying to in my head design how it might work. You know, how I might incorporate them in and so kind of just hanging out, just like sitting there, like not doing anything. And then like I also was looking at a double bit axe that Daniel Donnelly sent to me to do a mask for it, so like a double leather mask for the head. So I was like kind of looking at that and looking at my leather and like didn't do anything that day. And then I also went down I talked about Brian Cohn sending over some, or you know, I ordered a couple sets of the black pearl handle scales that he had.
Oh yeah,
the carbon fiber, and he sent over two additional sets of their multi-directional carbon fiber, which is like this kind of cool, the X Forge. It's like small pieces and all this random pattern, but it's really cool because carbon fiber gets this cool kind of shiny quality to it when when you see the fibers at different angles. And then the pieces that he sent had these like flecks. One has flecks of gold in it and the other one has flecks of like green, almost like green glitter throughout it. Like that bluey green. They're cool. So
cool.
So I was like down the shop and I was like looking at them and I took a picture and I did a post on Instagram and like, we just didn't do anything in the shop. I cleaned up a little bit one day, kind of moved some things around. I was like, what do I want to do?
We'll get working here. So, well, you're leaving next week for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'll be up in Vermont. So
when are you leaving?
I'm not sure. Wednesday morning.
Well, maybe we can shoot something for them or at least get started.
Yep. Yeah, and actually...
Monday or Tuesday or something.
Yeah, we could do that. I could... Yeah, it would be good for Monday. Probably not Tuesday because I'll be, like, prepping everything to go Wednesday because we're going to leave early Wednesday morning.
Well, we can get started.
Yeah. And this weekend, You all right?
Well, you just said it so dramatically. I'm ready for something cool.
Yeah, so Joel is back in town, and I'm hanging out with Joel this weekend.
Oh, nice. That is a good. That's worth a...
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, are you expecting something? Like,
do you know?
Yeah. No, but yeah, so those of you who don't know, I guess most people won't know, but Joel is like my oldest best friend, you know, from, or I guess one of my oldest best friends, somebody that, you know, we went to church with when we were younger, and tons of, you know, hours spent in youth group, and I spent the night at his house, you know, hundreds of times, and he spent the night at our house hundreds of times, and, you know, our parents call him their fifth son, you know, so it's one of my oldest friends, and he's been out in California for the last, you know, 10 years or so. He's in the Navy, and he's back in Baltimore, possibly long term. I'm not exactly sure yet. I'll talk to him more this weekend, but it's just, he reached out and we're hanging out. So he's going to come over on Sunday, and we're going to, you know, drink some beers, hang out by the fire, and have dinner. And so I'm really excited about that. Yeah. Sweet. And I was like, the other thing, like I said, that my midterm exam got canceled, which is great because it was due on Sunday. So I was like,
let's party.
I was like, okay, I'll have to like do the midterm on Saturday, so I don't have to worry about it on Sunday, you know, like kind of thing.
Watch the Ravens game, and then.
I know. He's coming over at 4, so you know, I don't want to.
Hopefully, we got a win by then.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was like, oh, I'm super excited to see him. It's been a long time. I think it's probably been like, it may have been 10 years, maybe like 8 or 9, I guess.
No. Were you there when he came over to see, I think he came over one night. Were you there for dinner at mom and dad, my place now? But remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't 10. That was like 4 years ago.
No. It was, I don't know. I have a picture of that night. I got to see how old Corinne was, you know, and then we'll see like when it was. But, you know, I know that he was over when his dad got married, which was when we were living at Kate and Sean's old place in Ten Hills. So like, that's when Corinne was 2 or 3. Right. So that was 10 years ago. When his brother passed away, he was back in town. We saw him then.
Yeah.
And that was less than that. So maybe that's when we all got together. I can't remember. I don't know. Was that then?
No.
No. It was after that was like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. Either way, it's been a while, and he's one of my oldest and best friends, so I'm super excited. This is like, you know, Joel and I always joked about, like, being old and gray together and, like, sitting on a porch and just, like, talking about our lives. You know, like, that was, like, when we were, like, in middle school. We were like, we're going to be friends forever. You know, we're eventually going to be two old dudes, like, sitting in rocking chairs on a porch somewhere just hanging out talking. And,
Well, hopefully he comes back. I'd love to see him. Just have him around.
Yeah, I think from what I've gathered, and like I said, I'll talk to him more on Sunday what his kind of long term plans are. But from what I gathered, I'll tell you a little bit more information about, you know, why he's back in town. But yeah, after we hang out for a bit and chat, then my understanding is that he's back in town for a bit. So
nice, yeah.
So yeah, he'll be around.
Convince him to stay home.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, we need more old friends around. Yeah,
and more people for, you know, poker nights and gambling nights.
Yeah. You're like, I need more people chair. To win money from. Yeah, right, exactly.
But, yeah, oh, speaking of turtle shell.
Yeah.
My glasses
yeah.
that you so nicely glued together for me.
Yeah.
I just grabbed them out of my truck and held them in my hand and they broke. Like, you know, I was just grabbing my stuff.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. It was like a hoodie and glasses, charger.
Right.
And I heard something fall to the ground. It was the
at the break.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just a piece. Yeah.
Right.
But you know, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, you could get some of that like shrink stuff for like electrical work. Like re-glue it, put a little shrink wrap over like the two stems, like, you know, match it on either side. So just get, like, a little black.
I just need to find the.
Were they like Levi or something?
No, they're
like
Dickies.
Dickies. Right, there you go.
They were just nice. They just fit nice.
Yeah. They did look good. Oh, I found. Did I tell you that I found my tortoiseshell, the Toro eyewear? Shout out to Toro eyewear.
Were you looking for them?
Yeah, so I had been missing them for months.
Didn't I give you my pair? The black pair?
Yeah, so I'd been wearing the all blacks, you know, the blackouts. And those are great, but I like the look of the tortoiseshell, right? I like the kind of brown, you know, stuff. So I have both, but yeah, I've been wearing them. And the other day I was doing something in our car, and I don't drive our car all that often. I drive my truck, and Nicole drives the car to and from work, and then weekends and stuff we do it. But I was doing something, and I was gathering some trash out of the front seat, like, after I got home, and there was a bunch of, like, old mail, you know, junk mail and stuff that was just on the floor in the front, in the passenger seat. And so I was gathering that up, and I saw there was, like, a piece that slipped under the front seat, so I reached on it, and I was grabbing and pulling some trash out, kind of just doing, like, a more thorough thing, because I was there. And I reached down, and I felt my sunglasses under that passenger seat in the front. I was like, yay, the sunglasses. So super excited to have those back. I've been wearing them, like, every day since. I'm like an avid sunglasses wearer. It's like all year round. Anytime I'm outside, I have my sunglasses. It's just, I don't know if it's like now it's such a habit, and you know, it's like, I probably, you know, my eyes have grown accustomed to having sunglasses on. So
very squinty without them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm squinty enough.
So bright out here. The sun.
I know. Every time someone says that around me, I'm like, I'm fine. I got my shades on. I'm good to go.
Must be rough.
But you know, like, as a, like, sailing and stuff, we're out on the water a lot. Well, so yeah. If I don't have sunglasses, I'm like, it's killer. You know, it's rough. So. They're always around, but yeah, found mine too. Cool. I want to shout out some of our patrons. Yeah. No. So we've had a bunch of patrons over the years. And so, you know, they come and go depending on different situations. Some people have left, you know, because maybe, like, they signed up and they could, you know, could only stay on for a little bit. They wanted to support, you know, a couple months. That's cool. You know, some people supported for a long time and then financial things change, and all that's perfectly fine. We never expect anyone to just support us out of the goodness of their heart. So when people do, we are super appreciative. So real quickly, I want to shout out the 32 patrons who have been patrons who are no longer patrons, just because they have been for a really long time. So we really appreciate it.
RIP
patrons. So, we have, these are the patrons: Jason Bierstad, Gavin Merwin, MK Woodcrafting, Joshua Wilson, J.R. Hankins, Sturgis, Ira Rosen, Dirk Wenzel, Luke Tutt at Tree Swift Goods, John Foster, Tyler Zlatkus, Matthew Spice. And some of these people actually in the past, we like have had giveaways and things. I remember reading Matthew Spice's name out. Byron McWilliams, Kirk Peterson, Brad B, Kester Smith, Cedric Lambert, Yazerton the Third, Richard Cochran, Richard D, Johnny Mercer, Johnny Jack Mercer, mm-hmm. Greg Newberry, Jeremy Parker. I think he won something one time. Brian Gehrke, Jacob A. Ellen, Maddie, James K, the Ignorant Forager, Cadence James. He won something one time.
Mm-hmm.
Dubois Clement, Lucas Selland, Ted, and one of our longest and most giving patrons of all time, Mike Hawkins. So Mike was a patron for a really long time. So for all of those patrons, those are the ones who are no longer patrons but have been in the past. And we don't want to forget about you guys, because we always say we appreciate the patrons, so we want to shout them out. So for our active patrons, I want to talk about those patrons real quick, and also let you guys know how long they've been patrons, because that's a bigger thing. That's a pretty big thing, too. And so we have a brand new patron, you know, just signed up this month, and that is Bill McMahon.
Billy.
Bill McMahon, M-A-H-O-N. I think is that man? McMahon, I guess. All right.
Yeah.
McMahon. So Bill McMahon, thank you for joining. Welcome. The Master of None. So the Master of None has been a patron for 9 months.
Yeah.
Russell Sparks has been a patron for 11 months.
Sparky.
Oh, Russell. We love it. our short fat friend Brigham Kendall, and I don't just say that because that's ignorant, but that's how he put it on. You're like, dang, we're throwing him right under the bus. No wonder he's, no wonder people are leaving our patronage.
If you sign up, we will insult you personally.
No, that's how he has it on Patreon.
Sure,
it says, your short, fat friend, Brigham Kendall. And it's funny because Brian House, who was it? I think it was Brian. Brian shouted him out, I think, on the Work For It podcast. And he said it. I was like, dang, that's kind of harsh. But now that, like, Brigham's been one of our, he's been a patron for us, with us for 11 months. So thank you, Brigham. But it is really funny. Bob at, that's a shed underscore 72. He's been a patron for 13 months.
Yeah.
James Keaton, Redbeard Ops. Yeah. He's been a patron for 19 months. We're getting up into the year and a half now. Hiko Lang has been a patron for 20 months. It's crazy. Like, seeing these numbers is pretty cool. Justin Miller, that's Florida Man Forge. He's been a patron for 26 months, over 2 years now. We got Jim Gardner. Jim has been a patron for 33 months, which is actually getting closer to the entire time now that we've had Patreon.
Wow. Bless his heart.
We have Anonymous, and you and I who know who this is, but we'll just say Anonymous. So thank you. Anonymous has been a patron also.
I mean, it's in the videos, the name.
Yeah, Brian.
He's Brian.
He's Brian. He's been a patron for 33 months. So thank you so much, Brian, Anonymous. And then we have two more, and both of these people have been patrons for the longest amount of time. But our two top patrons who have been patrons for the longest are Abigail TV, which is really good friends of ours, Abby and Guy, supporting the channel. Thank you so much. They have been patrons for 39 months, which is the entire time we've had Patreon.
Wow.
And then our also our longest but our biggest supporter in that amount of time is Charlie Pettinger.
Yeah.
And Charlie has also been a patron for 39 months and, all the way from the beginning. So
That's crazy, thank you, man.
It is crazy. It's a big, it's a very generous and big put out for people to do that. And so, I know we don't acknowledge them other than like saying thank you. And we don't put a lot of effort into, Patreon other than making the opportunity for people, giving the opportunity for people to support us who think that they want to do that in that way. And we thank you. That's above and beyond what we ever ask. So thank you so much. And we are doing, as before we started the podcast, I started a Discord account and started the new Discord server, which is called the Art of Craftsmanship, the Art of Craftsmanship community. So I'm going to send out to all of our patrons, I'll send out a link to that Discord server. If you're not familiar with what Discord is, it's basically just an online server that is like a big chat room. We have the ability to do like video chats as well as just open chat rooms. So it's something that we can access a little bit more easily and get into, and everyone can access it. So we can have these conversations that are going on. So patrons can talk among patrons and they can ask us questions and we can comment back, but it's not like relying on just us or just, one conversation going on. It can be a whole conversation. Those patrons. So I'm going to actually send out, the invitation to our current patrons, but also to our past patrons as well. So if you have been a patron in the past, you'll also get an invite to that, to that community. Cause why not? If you want to be part of the community, join Patreon for a month, 2 months, you'll get the invite. You can join, if you want to support us that way, I feel like if you came in and gave me a couple bucks for a coffee, you can come join the community. Like
you can do the friends tier and pay $2 and cancel it. I mean, as long as the money gets to us first, we got a seat in the bank and then we'll know.
So I'm going to send that out, over probably tomorrow. Because it's my first time joining it this evening. If you guys listen to this on Friday, this is on Thursday night. I've started it. So I want to make sure that I know what's going on here and how I can send the link, and I'll send a link out and make sure I can set up all of the alerts and stuff as well. So that way I get alerts on my phone and on, on emails and stuff when new people are putting in messages.
We want it to just be, another thing that we check, just as mm-hmm. equally as we would check Instagram or Slack yep. or whatever yep, things we exactly. waste time on. We want to waste time with you guys.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a good slogan. That should be a catch line. We want to waste time with you.
Come waste time with us. Waste time yeah, together.
Right. I'm going to write that one down.
I think you missed. Did you miss on Patreon? Or did I just not?
Oh, actually, hold on. No, sorry. No, there are other patrons. So.
Oh, boy.
So there are, and I don't exactly know how this is happening. How this the distinction happens, but there are four categories. There are active, there's new, so that way I can see who like the new patrons are, and then there's canceled, which are patrons who are no longer patrons, and then there's declined, which I think maybe declined means that they still want to be there, but they're not paying actively. I don't know. How that's different from canceled.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. But, I think it's probably people change cards and stuff, and they just forget.
Oh, you know what I mean? So it's like declined. I got it.
Declined payment. Yeah. So they sign up, and for whatever reason, whatever card they had signed up, or you know,
right? Yeah. So sorry. Yeah, there are six people in that category, and those people are Rick Poteet. So Rick, thank you. Joshua Hickey. Joshua has been a patron for a long time. Let's see. This I'm trying to think of it. It doesn't give me dates here. It gives me a date. I'm not sure what that date is. We got David M. Mosley, my father-in-law. Thank you for the Mosleys for support. Donald Birdwell and S&S O'Hara. That's our parents, Sally and Scott. They were patrons for a long time and contributed a lot to the channel. So thank you very much, parents and parents-in-law. And then also Gomer. Gomer is also a longtime patron, has been there from the beginning. Gomer. All 39 months. Good old Gomer. I don't think anyone knows this because this happened before the podcast started, but Gomer is you mm-hmm. and named after your dog Gomer.
Yeah. We wanted to just test and put one in there just to be like, okay, what's it like? Right. Let's do a patron. So I think we were paying $5 a month or something.
I have you as a $2 friend.
Really? Oh, I'm so cheap.
Jeez.
So I put in two. So you owe me $1 for every month I put in two. How many months was Gomer in there?
It doesn't show me. It doesn't have that the stat in when I'm looking at.
Let's just round up to 36 months.
So you paid yourself $2 a month and I got to pay half of that?
Well, no, I paid us $2.
You did. You're
so
right.
The dollar that I gave you, you must give back.
I have
back.
To give it back. Okay. You must give back. It says that you have paid $56.
Well.
So I guess I owe you 23, 27.
It's round up to 30 and that's we'll some interest.
Yeah, I'm sure I paid that off over time. Yeah. Interest right now. It's like.
Yeah.
With a 12% interest over the course of the lifetime, you now owe me $472. Dang. God,
he's cashing in.
I thought all along you were just being generous. Give me a dollar a month. Here you go.
yeah.
But yeah, so, we're gonna add some more stuff to that and do Discord. I also think, I think doing at least a monthly live hangout, you know, so mm-hmm. we'll do like just a YouTube live, but it'll be exclusive to those Patreon members. So yes, if you're interested, we want to make it a little bit more inviting because it's important to us to give back to the community and especially to those people who are you know. Given us are supporting us out of their pockets, so we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and again to reiterate, I think I don't know, we'll probably have the higher tiers just because people say if you put higher tiers, some people just have the money and it's still nothing to them,
right?
But if you're like normal humans and you got a million bills and stuff and but you want to support, we'll do like a $2. I mean, we'll continue with the $2 tier. I don't know, maybe $1. I don't know. Something small just to get your foot in the door. And like Dustin said, just even if it's 1 month, you just give $2. You're a fan of the podcast or the channel, and then cancel. We'll shout your name out. You'll jump on the Discord. You'll be right in there with the gang of people, and we'll keep you updated on the stuff we're doing and share photos and videos, and it'll just be a nice group of folks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I feel like it's an easy win, but that's not a good explanation of why I'm happy about it. You know, it's like, oh, it's an easy way for us to do stuff with the people, but that's it. Like, it's an easy way for us to have a community. You know, and this is like the people we really want to talk with. Yeah. Yeah. So again, if you want to be part of that, head over to Patreon and become a patron, and then you'll get the link to the Discord. I'm super excited. It'd be fun. Yeah. All right. Any recommendations this week, Dev?
I think I have one in here. You go first.
Okay. So I have a couple things that have just like been on my mind. One is last week, Knife Talk. They do the Knife Talk podcast. They do for the last couple of years. They've been doing a live podcast. Excuse me. During the Damasteel Invitational. So Damasteel is a Swedish company, and they make stainless steel patterned Damascus, and then they sell it. So you're like, it's you're just patterned Damascus is typically made with carbon steel, with high carbon steel, because they forge together easier. Because high carbon steels, although there are different chemicals and, you know, different compounds to make different types of steels, they still have a similar enough combination of elements that make it easier to forge weld. Stainless steel has additional things that make it more stain resistant, which also makes it a little bit harder to heat treat as well as to forge weld. So Damasteel actually does all the forge welding, and they sell all these cool patterns, and they all have like really cool like Norwegian names like Favnir and Solgjenner and Mjolnir, like all the cool like Viking names and stuff. Odin's Eye.
Odin's Raven.
So they had the knife steel, the Damasteel Invitational, which is when they like invite a bunch of knife makers from all over the world to do a live virtual, basically like craft show, and they show their knives that have been made with Damasteel steel, patterned Damascus. Mm-hmm. And Jeff put in a bread knife this year, his offset serrated kind of bread knife, utility knife, and he won for his category for bread knives. He won for best bread knife and show. So congrats to Jeff.
That's one. And the rich keep getting richer.
Hey, you know, it's like he put in and he deserved it. It's cool.
Isn't he loved enough?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Well, if you go to Maker Camp and you see everyone wearing his hats and schwag.
Yeah, right. Like, exactly.
Dang, he cleaned up. Everyone got one of those.
Yeah, he did say someone stole one of his hats. He's like, damn, son of a bitch, somebody stole one of my hats. I was like, dang. Probably somebody was like, ah, cool, there's a hat. Like they thought, hey, it was free, like free swag. It's like the night that I walked around at 3 o'clock in the morning when all the booths were still open, but no one was there, and I just cleaned up with swag. I like pencils and, you know, koozies and stickers, and there were like some shirts around and stuff. Well, this is great. Yeah, hats. I got like 3 fader knives hats and shirts. They were all free swag, right?
So many people are wearing them. I would never. It's my, let's go back to hipster.
You couldn't do it.
Let's bring it all around. It's like too, it's too hip, or it's too not, like, it's too popular.
Yeah, right.
To wear it. Like, no,
yeah,
I would never.
No, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's, yeah, no, it's, yeah.
But, I mean, so many people are, they've got the biggest knife podcast, and everyone knows him and stuff. So I feel like there are definitely people that, even if everyone bought their stuff, it feels like an Adam Savage t-shirt.
Right.
Like, yeah. I would definitely, if 10,000 mm-hmm. people bought it, I'm still going to buy it.
Right. Yeah.
If there's Paul McCartney swag at a concert, I'm still buying it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still, that's the stuff I'm, but, right. but yeah, no, I will not be wearing one of those beanies or hats.
It's funny too. Like I wonder. So, is this a slight toward Jeff, or is it a slight toward the popularity of the shirt? And I ask this, and I'll put it into context. So, if you went to a big maker event where Adam Savage was there and everybody was wearing Savage t-shirts, would you buy one?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, definitely.
So it is. It's that's great.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who's a slight to. Well, for me, I guess saying that is a slight towards both parties.
Okay.
I'm attacking everyone equally.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, but yeah, it just depends who that, but he's not my hero maker person.
Right.
Which I know he is for a lot of people, where he's one of them.
Right. Your perspective is different.
I can talk shit until I run into Adam Savage. And I freak out and I want to buy anything he has. I want a piece of him warming up my noggin. And I'm too hot to be wearing a lot of things. I would never wear a beanie.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be real cold out for me to wear a beanie.
There's people indoors wearing beanies. I'm like, what is going on there?
Aren't you sweating under that? Isn't all your hair greasy right now?
I'd be gross. So, it'd be just dripping down into my eyes.
Yeah, I can barely wear a long sleeve shirt indoors in winter.
Right? Everyone's like, hey, how about this nice flannel? Well, if I'm outdoors, flannel's nice and jackets are nice. But if I go indoors, I wear flannel. That's it. Game over.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's 65 and above, I'm in a t-shirt. So I'm
stripping down, baby.
And in the winter, it's, 70 in our house. So it's t-shirt and shoes off. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I actually started this podcast. I was wearing a hoodie because it was kind of cold in the studio. I'm wearing a hoodie about a third of the way through, I had to take it off. I'm like, nope, too hot. one of my other recommendations is Toro Eyewear, and I talked about finding my sunglasses, but they just came out with a new line of lenses that are green lenses, which are pretty cool. I'd never seen before. Hmm. So you can check out Toro Eyewear on Instagram. They also reached out to one of you Yeah, like a green polarized, you get
everyone looks sickly.
Yeah, right. Now they're wild, neon green, whatever. Not I don't think it was that you're not looking through green. It's they reflect green. A shiny outside, so they reflect green. Like the way you see them sometimes, sunglasses reflect red or, you're not looking through red. They're just the outer coating is reflective and it's reflective green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, so they just put out that new line, which is pretty cool, and they also reached out to use one of my pictures that I posted on the Art of Craftsmanship Instagram wearing their sunglasses, and shouting them out. So they were they want to use one of your pictures in their stuff, and I was like, yeah, sure.
I thought when you stopped that sentence just now, you said they want to use one of you. I thought you were gonna say one of they want you to do something. I was like, I'm telling you, I don't wear their stuff.
They want Devin to do something specific.
Now we've noticed that the art of camera guy hasn't yet fulfilled his
obligation. I want it.
It's too small for my big fat face. Leave me alone. You want me to post it? Fine, I will.
Look how tiny the sunglasses are.
Stupid I look. Thanks for nothing, Turo Eyewear.
They will be happy to know that I have two pairs that I wear equally. if I'm dressing up, I'll wear the all black pair. It actually depends on the situation. Yeah,
if anyone wants clothing. Actual sponsorship stuff and shout outs, that's all the Art of Craftsmanship Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Right,
don't come to me. Unless you give me a camera or something. No, definitely.
You did get some sweet boots from what's it called?
Brunt.
Brunt. Yep. Yeah,
oh, yeah, for sure.
A lot of people I know. Wearing Brunt work wear up at
I clicked Anchor Camp. Boots with Dre and
did you?
And MA and all the, nice. The couple.
Yeah, so
yeah, they had the exact same ones I had. And they I think they also have done some stuff for them too as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were hey, nice. And we click, click.
Click. Yeah, there were a bunch of people, tons of people with the. With that's, the Brunt work bear.
Man, that's the way to do it, dude. Give out a bunch.
Yeah, Lucas and Dre.
It's the cheapest advertising you can do, and then do a happy hour, and man,
yeah,
that was great.
You have customers for life. Yeah. And I did wear the what do they call it? I can't remember the name, but they're the logger boot. But I wore them.
Yeah, those are great. I would have gotten those if I didn't already have a pair of that style.
Right.
But those I like more than the Moxon style, just in general.
Mokto. Yeah.
But But I will say it is super comfy and keeps your feet dry, and like I really really like them a lot.
The only thing that I'm not a big fan of is the white soles. I know they have kind of a hiking boot that has a different color sole. Mm-hmm. And I was torn a little bit because that's the Distasio. That's the style that I got. They don't have the white soles because they're like a built up heel and all because it's like a logger boot.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I want that. And also because, you know, doing like axemanship and stuff, I kind of wanted, you know, a nice pair of logger boot type boots.
Yeah, no, those are great. I would love if they talk to us again. We should just both get another pair of the opposite.
Yeah, right. Switch it up. Yeah, yeah.
I would love to have one. It's a really nice looking boot, and like I said, it's just super comfy, super warm. Like I wear them all the time, and at Maker Camp and stuff. I never had any issues, and they also come with these inserts that help with like a type of foot you have. I've got a wider foot, like they have certain inserts that are for just a normal non-wide foot, and then you take them out, and it just fits real nice.
Yeah, Brian House just got a pair. I saw that he did a little post of him like dancing in his new boots. It was funny. That's great. My last quick recommendation, and it's just it's a small one because you've already recommended it, I think, is the new Star Wars show Andor. I started watching that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's really good. I'm only on episode 5, 4, something like that. But yeah, it started out, and Nicole and I watched the first two, and she was like, "These are kind of slow." I was like, "Yeah, I like it. You know, it's kind of building up. You know, it's building the character development."
Oh, it's
like,
great,
you know,
man. That's really nice. I love about it. It like sits you in the world a bit more.
Yeah.
Like they focus on small stuff. Like, hey, this guy hammering, was there where he's like on the bell tower?
You know, yeah, that was awesome.
That's like my example that I give to people or that I talk about is,
yeah,
there's this guy just like doing the bell tower in the city that everyone's at. And you like see that it's a dude, like, and it's his job, and it's like this skillful thing. It's like cool. It's those small things that help are like world building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
dude. It's great. It's the 11th episode just came out. I watched it last night. Nice.
Yeah, right on.
So good. It's right up. Yeah, that and The Mandalorian, they're like side by side now for me. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really good. I really enjoyed it so far. So. No, but like I said, I know you already shouted out, but you know, gotta send it out. I have to verify. I verify that yes, it is good. Devin is correct.
Here's my buddy Andy at work at multiple production jobs. We were actually talking about tonight because we're like the nerdy stuff. I'll talk to him about. Like, did you watch Andor? Yeah. Other than Marvel, he's a Marvel guy. I could care less.
So, yeah, right.
But I'm like, you talked to me about Star Wars. I'll talk about all night. Like, that's
fine. Sweet. Cool. All right. You got a recommendation?
Yeah. A huge, huge podcast by Roger Avery and a little director named Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
Video Archives. He bought his whole, almost the whole library of the VHS rental store that he worked at. As a young guy.
Who?
Quentin.
Wait, what's the podcast name again? Sorry.
Video Archives.
Gotcha. Yep.
Or the Video Archives podcast.
All right.
But each, I don't know if it's weekly, but each time it might be monthly, but they watch 3 movies. And it's just Quentin Tarantino talking about weird movies.
Oh, and, so they watch and 3 and then they talk about them like a book club.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. I was like, it was like a 6-hour podcast. They watch 3 movies and talk about it during the podcast.
Live.
I was like, dang. serious podcast. But it's going to be back and forth to work like 6, 7, 8, 10 times.
It's great. It's just Quentin Tarantino talking about movies and why he likes stuff and why he doesn't. And it's so interesting. And they're like some B movies, and he hasn't done any like huge movies yet. So there's a lot of ones you don't know anything about.
Right.
But that's a part of it. They just find these kind of weird old movies, and he gives you this like deep dive on all these weird things, which is a huge spot in my like movie vocabulary.
Right.
Like, I don't know any of the B movies, any of the old 70s stuff, any of this weird stuff. Like, I just never had a chance to watch.
Right.
We just watched whatever was at Blockbuster. And the only B movies we ever watched were stuff that our brother Derek would bring home. And it was like old karate movies. Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
He would just find one, and we'd like, sometimes they'd be really bad, and we'd make fun of him for it. Yeah, all that
capoeira.
Yeah, capoeira and all these like, and then all the like Seagal stuff and Bloodsport and all those that he used to bring home. But yeah, no, it's great. I mean, if you like Quentin Tarantino, it's just him talking for like 2 hours about the movies and it's great.
Yeah, and he's so smart when it comes to movie stuff, you know, and he has such a, I mean, he's got such a good knowledge of the history of movies, you know, and that all comes into play when you're talking about, you know, what's good, what's bad, what influenced what, and yeah.
It's hard to follow him sometimes because he goes so deep in the references, like, yeah, you know, it's, you know, of course this person did this and that, you know, and right, and at least you have to, like, right, like, really struggle to follow along. It's top three best this movie and that, and you're, like, really struggling, but it's nice to get a little bit of an education on that, just watching the podcast or listening to the podcast.
Yeah, nice. Sweet.
That's it.
Cool. The Video Archives Podcast. Nice. Boom. All right, guys. Cool. All right, well, are we going to do a podcast next week for Thanksgiving? I will be up in Vermont, so we may skip it.
I mean, maybe we can do it on Tuesday or Monday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll try to record one early so we can get something out. Be thankful for our listeners, for those of you who are out there. Also, again, if you want to contribute further, if you want to be part of the Patreon community and
Discord, baby.
Yeah, invited to the Discord and then monthly live, you know, hangouts and whatever else I've said this a bunch of times, and I'm going to do it eventually, and maybe someone will like call me out on it, but we're going to make some stuff and send some stuff out. We're definitely going to send out some like stickers and things to those patrons. But maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll make something together and send it out. Maybe we'll do Christmas cards or something. That'd be kind of cool. Some handmade art or something.
Yeah,
something. We'll do something. So you can head over to patreon.com/outercraftsmanship and support us there. I think we are going to put in a $1 tier. So, you know, those people want to just like support a little bit, $12 a year, you know, you can't beat that. You can also follow Devin and I both on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guide to see, you know, things that are going on behind the scenes. Obviously, I post and I check there way more often than anything else. So if you want to get a hold of us or ask us questions that we could answer on the weekly question videos, you can send either of us questions on Instagram. You can DM us directly with those questions. Or you can leave a comment in the video, the 5-question video comments. Or you can also, if you're a Patreon member, send us a message. And we will definitely put those questions on as well, as long as they are, intelligible or whatever. However, that was like, it was perfect. That was the perfect word for me trying to say, like, they had to be good questions. Intelligible.
But you speak real good and pretty.
And I won't put you up. And make sure, you know, in the end, it's all about heading over to YouTube and supporting us there. So head over to YouTube and subscribe if you have not already, and check out our videos over there and like and comment. All that makes a big difference, and it helps us to keep doing what we're doing. Speaking of that, Devin, I meant to ask you this earlier. Are you I know we have all of the extra questions that we did at Maker Camp. Are you going to do an extras, what's that called in movies? I guess just call it the extras. What if you call Maker Camp extras, make a video of all those extra questions that we did that didn't get into the video.
I think we should put them on,
shorts or something. Yeah. Okay.
I think they should be shorts, just like I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, pieces of some old, yeah.
Shorts and who knows, whatever other venues we can put it on. If it's right. TikTok or whatever, even though we haven't started that, but
yeah, real
do
shorts.
That. And then also for shorts, we can put on, I'm thinking about also editing versions of the trolley comments.
Oh, nice.
That we get on the YouTube video, the five questions YouTube video, and just do that as a... as a reel on Instagram or whatever.
Right.
Where you're just answering that question. That one, I will just edit that one.
Just responding to the trolley questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. That's funny.
So then
I like that.
People get a little taste of that, and it shouldn't be much harder. If it's already there, I just have to format it or whatever.
Just export that one clip or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. All right, nice. We'll do that. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I was thinking we got to use that for something, right? Because that's a lot of people's questions. Those extra questions are good. It's good content, you know.
Nice Jimmy Duresta. Oh, do we have it? Yeah, we have a Duresta extra question that's not been out.
Okay. Oh, hey. And exclusive.
The big guy. Yeah. We got one of him asking him what do you. If you want to find out what he looks for at a flea market and what his big thing is.
What his white whales are. The things he always hopes to find when he goes to flea markets.
He gives us that little gem.
Nice. Sweet. Okay, cool. Well, that'll be good. Yeah, I like that idea to put them out as little increments, little reels or something. Awesome. All right, everybody. That's it for this week. Thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.